Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Meaningful Memorial Day to you all. It's tough to say happy Memorial Day, and I think you understand why. I mean, unless we're focusing on the liberty secured by the sacrifice paid for it. Today, we must resolve to make whatever sacrifice is needed to preserve what our brave soldiers sacrificed all to procure. So let's remember. My apologies. I believe Trump is the legitimate president now and has been displaced by a coup. Furthermore, I believe there is an ongoing attempt to bury him in exile. I intend to vote for him in 2024, so let's talk about the botched Satan DeSantis announcement. And here's a note on the rhetoric wars. My friend, woke is not woke, it's a joke. But they craft their lies in deceitful language. Cleverly, you are positioned so that to oppose, you have to say, you're not woke. That, I think, is intended to be a confession that you're asleep and not awake to reality, right? Asleep in a dream. When the exact opposite is true, the wokies are the ones that are sleepwalking, living in a dream world of fantasy, totally disconnected with reality, obnoxious to nature, and an abomination to nature's God. Wokies are at war with nature itself and reality. Okay, my friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
I trust you'll be patient with my voice today. It's a little off. This Memorial Day celebration is overcast by a dark cloud of menacing enemies crossing our borders, with intelligence suggesting some real terrorists are getting across and preparing to launch a series of devastating attacks. Storm clouds are certainly gathering, and we know the only thing that will turn this all around is when the American people stand up to these bullies and push back and take our right of consent back into our power, and put people in position, get rid of these bums, and put people in positions of authority who will represent America and Americans. So while we work on getting rid of the machines, blocking the deep state voter fraud machine operation, and getting voter ID and get these mail-in ballots under control and all of that business, we nevertheless need to be paying attention to these candidates preparing to make our decision on who we're going to elect for office. Now, in view of the DeSantis announcement that he is running for president, I'm compelled to offer my apology for rejecting DeSantis and supporting Trump. My apologies, you say? Apology for what? Well, when you hear the word apology, I understand you probably think, or many of you, of someone who's saying, I'm sorry. Dictionaries usually provide the meanings that reflect current usage, and today, that would be the first meaning. My laptop onboard dictionary, for example, shows 1, a regretful acknowledgement of an offense or failure, 2, the expression an apology for indicates something that is an inadequate example of, and then 3, a reasoned argument or writing in justification of something. The usage of this word today is the actual opposite of how the word was used back in the 1800s. In the Webster's 1828, nothing is said about asking forgiveness or expressing remorse for a wrongdoing or offense. It's entirely about providing an explanation supporting or attacking a position or an action. However, by the 1912 or 13 edition of Webster's, while the meaning given to the word in 1828 appears first in the list, the secondary meaning is an acknowledgement intended as atonement for some improper or injurious remark or act. So you see that idea get worked in about 100 years later. So the way the word is used today was no part of the meaning in Webster's 1828 and before that. This was introduced about 100 years later in Webster's 1913, when this new meaning was introduced as the second. But today, it's upside down, like everything else. The first meaning of apology today is about admission of guilt for something. So here's the point of that exercise is this. When I say my apologies for supporting Trump, I don't mean I'm sorry. Instead, I mean to explain, to provide arguments supporting my support. Now, I'm a theologian. My doctorate is in theological studies. My background includes extensive research in contemporary theology and apologetics. Apologetics is the work of examining theological beliefs and systems of beliefs, doctrines and so on, thoughts, to expose error and then to convince of the truth. So an apology provides arguments not only intended to explain a position, but also to prove and thereby to convince others or to persuade them to embrace that position. So why do I need to provide an apology for supporting Trump? My apology is not directed at the wokies. They're welcome to examine my arguments to vote for Trump, and hopefully it will convince them. That'd be nice. Neither is my apology directed at the rhino, the never-Trumpers. Those people who, they want to preserve the status quo. You know, continual wars, corporate welfare, bailouts, all this kind of nonsense. And there's no argument that will dissuade them from their course because of the personal benefits they accrue in that course of action. But I do hope to knock the props from under the disingenuous, pretentious arguments that these people and others use to dissuade Christian patriots from supporting Trump, including their effort to present an alternative in DeSantis, the latest Trump wannabe. Now, I'm going to frankly address what I believe are Trump's negatives, some areas where I strongly disagree with him, and offer an apologetic explaining why my preferential decision to support him is not inconsistent with Christian precept or principle, but in fact, perfectly consistent. And why for any God-fearing patriot to fail to support Trump in this particular environment is in fact inconsistent with the values we cherish as Christians. So let's get started. First, Trump's position on homosexuality is not in conformity with what the Bible says on this subject. Trump appointed the first openly queer man to a cabinet position in his administration, Richard Grenell, who, by all accounts, did an excellent job, by the way, and two openly queer federal court appointees. And he's made repeated statements that he's okay with people with same-sex preferences, their business, whatever. No problem. In 2019, he launched a campaign to end the criminalization of homosexuality worldwide. The Trump campaign hosted a Trump Pride event in Minnesota in October during his 2016 campaign. Before becoming president, Trump supported including sexual orientation in the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And then, in 2015, during his campaign, he told Jake Tapper that he is, quote, just for traditional marriage, end quote. But, as president, he resisted extending special workplace protections to the queer community. In fact, his Justice Department argued before the SCOTUS that the Civil Rights Act of 1964, quote, doesn't include sexual orientation or gender identity, end quote. Now, that was a reversal of his position before becoming president. While on the issue of gay marriage, about 1 year later, he said the nationwide legality of same-sex marriage is settled. And he said he was fine with the SCOTUS decision to legalize queer marriage. Now, you have pictures of Trump Pride event. You have pictures of Trump holding an LGBTQ for Trump flag or something like that. These are galling and disappointing to Christians. And yet, during his administration, Trump refused to relax prohibitions against trans men and women in the military. He did not support religious discrimination against Christians who refused to accommodate homosexual marriage. And he opposed activists advocating for requiring churches to hire queers or to teach the queer agenda in our public schools. So it's important to get a close look at Trump's position on this. There are other inconsistencies, too. For example, he advocated for overturning Roe v. Wade, right? But when it came to questions about whether he would advocate to overturn the SCOTUS decision to legalize queer marriage, he said, quote, it's irrelevant because, he said, quote, It's settled law. Now, wasn't Roe settled law? Isn't that what the Democrats were howling as Trump used his SCOTUS appointment opportunities to place pro-life sympathizers on the court? But his position on abortion is not my focus right now, although his position on that matter does not line up with biblical precept and principle, even though, as he often tells us, it lines up with Reagan's position on that matter. And we'll look at that in a future show. But let's get back to this this business of the homosexual agenda. Trump's position seems to be a version of live and let live. He does not want government involvement in the issue. He'd like to separate these things. But I think Trump has a blind spot here, and it is concerning. Folks, I can see right now that my second segment is going to run a little long, so we're going to roll on through the break.
Stand
and
by.
Continue.
The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that is right now in the process of stealing from us our liberties. I've already spoken to my concerns about DeSantis, and I will again. But right now, I'm concentrating on the questions that come up regarding Trump. Questions that trouble Bible-believing Christians, such as moi. Now, I plan to look at objections raised by Christians against supporting Trump, all of them, over the next few weeks. And I will address them all, but I'm going to go straight for the ones that are most concerning and I think that have some real substance for concern. And the first of those, and probably the most troubling, is Trump's endorsement of and support for the homosexual or queer lifestyle. Now, I laid out the case supporting the allegation that he is supportive of that in part one, and I don't have time to recap that. Right now, I want to state my objection to his position on this matter. The behavior is unnatural, unseemly, and unhealthy. Or in other words, I believe what the Bible says about this behavior. In Romans 1, verse 26 and 27, you can see it right there. The Spirit of God was sent to reprove the world, and the Scripture is given by inspiration of the Spirit. Now, to reprove means to admonish, which is to officially rebuke, to confute, which is to prove wrong with argument, to convict, and that means to declare one as guilty, and to expose a fault or shine light on a dark place in someone's life or character and so on. Jesus sent his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, into the world to reprove it of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's in John 16, 7 and 8. Now here in Romans 1, 26 and 27, we read a clear statement from the Spirit through the Scriptures on the issue of homosexuality. Here's what it says. The first thing it says is that the behavior is unnatural. Verse 26, even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, and so on. So you see, it's unnatural. However, the language here is stronger. It tells us that it's against nature, contrary to it, actually disruptive of it. The second thing that's brought out in this text concerning the issue of homosexuality, it is unseemly. The Spirit says these men with men are, quote, working that which is unseemly, end quote. Now, homosexual behavior is unseemly, and that means, according to the Bible, the behavior is indecent, it's shameful, it's, well, inelegant, it's uncomely. And if you want proof of that, man, I've got it. I added these documents to my post for the show. Usually I just have the audio and then the transcript. But today I'm going to post several other articles with the transcript. Read this one, the Fistgate Report. And then see this one. See another document, Statistics on Homosexuals. And when you read those documents, you'll see what I mean. It's really ugly behavior. It's disgusting. It's really revolting. Then the Spirit says the behavior is unhealthy. Those who are practicing this behavior receive in themselves, quote, that recompense of their error, which was meat, end quote. Now, the word meat here, it refers to something fitting or appropriate. The recompense refers to the consequence of the behavior. Look at the horrible health risks involved in this unnatural and unseemly behavior. I mean, it's against nature, and nature punishes it severely. I got several documents here for you to look at. See homosexual behavior, a national public health issue. And see homosexuals' unhealthy lifestyle. See also negative impacts of homosexual behavior. And then see this article titled, On the Unhealthy Homosexual Lifestyle. In summary, the fact is, queer behavior reduces life expectancy in active homosexual males by nearly 50% when compared with those who live in conformity to nature. To champion such a lifestyle among our young people is tantamount to a death sentence. Really. Queer teens are more, quote, more than four times as likely to attempt suicide than their peers, end quote. Now, research has shown, I'm quoting again, research has shown that when examined as a group, adults who identify as lesbian, gay, or bisexual have higher rates of suicidal thoughts and attempts relative to heterosexual adults. So there's something, nature abhors this behavior, and they receive in themselves the recompense of their error. That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible says we can learn from nature. Any reasonable mind contemplating what nature itself teaches can see this behavior is an aberration. It is contrary to it. That is, it is against nature. And it's also unseemly. The natural sensibilities recoil with revulsion when they are exposed to the revelations that are available to you, but they hide them. The revelations of the sorts of bizarre behaviors that are associated with this sin. The behaviors engaged by those practicing this lifestyle are shocking and disgusting to those whose conscience has not been seared and whose affections remain natural. The Spirit said, quote, it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, end quote, Ephesians 5:12. And medical science has shown repeatedly by many studies, it is a deadly lifestyle, full of all manner of health risks and problems. And then on top of all that, the behavior is an abomination to God. It's heavy on the conscience. It's an insult to His gift to man of the Imago Dei. That is the image of God that He's given to man. Now, promoting this behavior in our society is unconscionable. It's intolerable to a reasonable mind, and it's inhumane. While I think Trump would agree and argue that he does not intend to encourage the behavior or endorse it, I think every reasonable mind would have to agree that by his enthusiasm for their support when he receives it and his repeated statements of his support for them, what you have is tacit approval, or at the very least acceptance of this unnatural, unseemly, and unhealthy lifestyle. And I wish he would wake up to this and understand the truth about it and somebody could talk to him. Now, how can I support Trump for president when I so obviously disagree with him so completely on his support of homosexuality? Well, first, let me say that if anything has developed that could actually begin to erode Trump's support base, it is certainly the explosion of LGBTQ gender insanity and the aggression that has been manifest coming out of that community of late. Trump must come forward and clearly differentiate himself from this. And the second thing that's developing that could impact Trump's support is revelations regarding the vaccines. If it comes out that these vaccines he supported and endorsed and fast-tracked and so on are in fact killing people, and they are, and we received another report today of one of the employees of the business of one of our members at Lighthouse, who just died suddenly, around 50 years old, one of these sudden death things. And as reports like this continue, and more pressure builds against that wall of silence that has been artificially constructed around this, you know, and the latest being that Pfizer, in coordination with FDA and CDC, conspired to hide from the public the truth about the dangers associated with their vaccine. Now, I know we already knew that, I mean, my audience, but what I'm saying is just about no one else did. and everyone else is about to find out about this. Okay, returning to the homosexual issue. The good news here is that Trump has revealed a plan to ban gender-affirming care for minors. And he's spoken directly to it. He makes it simple. Quote, "The left-wing gender insanity being pushed at our children is an act of child abuse. Very simple." End quote. And he goes on from there to declare his position on this matter, and it's really good. So first off, Trump is not in for all the nonsense that has exploded on this issue since Biden rolled into D.C. I should say stole into D.C. He's soft on adults. That is, Trump is soft on adults who would choose this aberrant behavior. But he's clear on the pronoun nonsense and especially on the gender transitioning that's going on and being pushed on our children. He fails to see the connection, however, between opening society up to homosexuality and this recent freefall into sexual dystopia. But he does draw the line at accepting homosexuals into the mainstream of our culture. And I believe that's a mistake. Obviously, they're there, and we treat them with grace and kindness and love and all that kind of course. And, as far as rights are concerned, they're human beings. And as long as they're human beings, they've got all the rights that every human being has. I'm not saying any of that kind of stuff. I'm just saying we don't countenance thieves and robbers and whoremongers and other. We don't countenance this either. Second, Trump, as I pointed out earlier, has never endorsed the radical homosexual agenda to teach this gender nonsense to our children or to create laws that impose their agenda and themselves on Christians and all of that. Third, none of those running for president have a better position than Trump does on this subject. In fact, I would say his is probably better than theirs. Fourth, no other candidate, no other president, has made a more clear statement of Christian faith. Now, I mean, in my lifetime. What I'm talking about here, by the way, are his Christmas and Easter messages while he was president. No other president in recent history has been more open with their declarations of subordination to Christ Jesus. He is wrong to express acceptance of the sin of homosexuality. And so is DeSantis and every other conservative politician today. All of them. And the longer this craziness continues, well, the harder they push this gender dystopia program on all of us. The more aggressive they become, well, the more pressure is going to rise up against it. And it's going to get aimed at homosexuality generally. You watch. Trump has never failed to stand with us against encroachments of our rights in this matter and in all other regards. And I hope he will wake up and see the truth about the roots of the current breakdown of social order and understand how much embracing homosexuality has and continues to contribute to it. When you read Romans 1, begin at 17, run through verse 32, if you pay attention, you will notice that when culture degrades to the place of embracing homosexuality, not long after that, it just collapses into all manner of immorality. But because I know Trump will not abandon us to the raging of these sodomites, I can support him. Even though on this matter, that is on his personal opinion about the sin of homosexuality, I disagree with him. He thinks what someone does in the privacy of their intimate life is their own business. Well, you know, to a great extent, I would agree with that. However, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about going public with accolades and acceptance that implies approval of a behavior that is against nature, against decency, and against public health. I mean, the number of people that are ravaged by this, by the diseases that arise from this behavior, I don't know why anybody's not paying attention to this. Finally, we Christians know God has chosen some unsavory men to lead his people against his enemies in the past. I mean, we don't refuse, for example, to accept the Proverbs, even though they're penned by a man who turned completely away from God and even went so far as to serve the idols of his wives. And I'm talking about Solomon. Now, we don't take Jehudi's penknife and go through the Psalms and cut out all attributed to David because of his failure. And we don't discount the victory God gave Gideon, although he established that stupid ephod that everybody went whoring after. And we understand God chooses sometimes less than savory men like Samson. to bring the house down on his enemies' heads, the Philistines. So on this Memorial Day, I suggest you consider that of all the rights our soldiers fought and died to protect, the right to choose our leaders has to be put on top of that list, because all of our other rights fail if we lose that one. And we must stand up and take our right of consent back from these wicked usurpers. And then we need to use that right of consent wisely, do a better job with it than we've done in the past, to choose the candidate that has already proved himself, already been tested in the crucible of fire, who earned our support. Listen, I feel very strongly on this next point. Trump's the right man for the job. I do believe that, just in terms of temperament and skills and all of that business and policy positions. But added to that, it would be a horrible injustice if these wicked, filthy, good-for-nothing traitors succeed at taking our right of consent away from us and deciding we can't have Trump. They don't get to decide that. We voted Trump in 2020. And what these wicked people did, Biden, Hillary, Obama, Zuckerberg, Dorsey at Twitter, Google's YouTube, CIA, FBI, the DOJ, DOD even got their hands in this. The whole deep state on behalf of the Chinese Communist Party and globalists carried out what amounts to a color revolution on America and stole our elections. If you don't believe that, then you haven't looked at the evidence. We cannot let that stand. The only way to correct it is to correct 2020. And that means get Trump back in the White House. Putting DeSantis in as a substitute is a concession to these thieves. I don't care if they don't want him and they don't like him either and he's conservative or anything like that. They made it personal. They made it about Trump. Well, then bless God, we're going to put Trump back in there. And there's no good reason not to. Besides, I don't trust DeSantis. I'm just saying. And on top of that, the guy's boring. and he botched his launch. What can I say? Anyway, memorable Memorial Day. This Sunday, I'm going to be in my pulpit setting the fire of truth to the stubble of lies. Come on in for some compelling, memorable Memorial Day messages. We start at 9:30 with my Bible study, 10:45 for the first service, and then 5 p.m. for our evening service. I'll see you in church. I've lit the lamps to the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. You call in and say, lights on if you agree, lights off if you disagree. I enjoy meeting some listeners when I'm out and about town. It's always a blessing, especially if after they recognize my voice or my name and then say, lights on. Thank you. Email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Find the contact us button, send me an email. You can leave a message for us on our listener response hotline. That's 1-805-314-2114. That's again 1-805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today. And Antichrist sentiment is rising in America too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the Spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to godswar2020.com.